Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Commas Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today's episode is really fun. It's with Nell Rojas. She most recently took 10th at the Boston Marathon. She was the first American to cross the finish line. She was also the first American back in the 2021 Boston Marathon, where she took 6th. She's on a roll right now. She lives in Boulder, Colorado. She's actually training with someone who was on the podcast recently, who was my college teammate, Molly Grable. So you'll hear Molly be referred to in this episode a lot, but that's who we're talking about. She has her own coaching business. It's called Rojas Running. So she's a full-on business owner. We talk about so much in this episode. It was super fun to get to know Nell. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Okay, Nell, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. You, as of late, you have been extremely highly requested, even though I know you've done so many other podcasts recently. So I'm glad that you're taking the time to join us here on Convos Over Cold Brew. So thanks for coming on.
Are we supposed to have coffee with us?
I mean, like sometimes, but it's a little late in the day, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's only 2 where you are.
I know, I try to cut off my coffee consumption at like noon or else I'm manic and I can't sleep.
Oh, okay. But that's like, it's like your style, I feel like.
It is. I mean, I love coffee, but I can't, especially lately. I mean, I'm also not marathon training, so I'm not that tired throughout the day, so I don't really need to pick me up.
Oh, okay. Well, were you marathon training?
I mean, I ran one marathon once, and then I was doing triathlon training for a while and during like 2020 when I was living in Portland. So I was training a lot more then. Now I'm just like very casually. I was marathon training for a little bit actually at the beginning of this year to run LA for fun.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. But then I got a concussion, and COVID around the same time. And I only had 8 weeks to train and I was like, okay, I don't think I should,
try to run a marathon
with no base at all. So I kind of, you know, gave up on that. I'm also not a marathon runner. So
That's not true. You run a marathon.
That's true. But you know, that's I'm not running marathons like you.
It's okay.
Okay. Well, to start off the podcast, you want to just give us like a little rundown of who you are and what you're about?
My name's Nell. I'm a marathon runner, just like you. and basically, came into the scene a couple years ago, fucking just started crushing shit. I'm just kidding, but
you actually really did, like, you're underselling yourself. You actually did come on and see and start crushing it.
That's kind of, what I'm trying to do now. And I'm a coach. So I coach other runners and, trying to survive.
And you live in Boulder, right?
I live in Boulder, born in Boulder, which is a little different. It's hard to get out of this place, but I think, you know, most people come here to train, which is awesome. And they like come here and they're like, you know, they get into these running groups and start training really hard. Whereas like, I like all my friends are like not runners just because they're like friends from high school or like family friends or whatever. So like, I feel like I have a unique situation where I'm like trying to focus on running, but like all my friends are like, hey, now let's go party, or like, let's do this. And I'm like, I just like want to be like, I just need to go seclude myself somewhere and move out of Boulder. But
yeah, that's so interesting because yeah, like you said, I feel like people move to Boulder to run, but having friends that don't run there would probably just be very different than every other pro runner experience there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like, I don't even know how to be friends with other pro runners. Like, cause I like am not, except for like all of a sudden Haruni and Molly like reached out of nowhere and were like, hey, we want to join your group. And I was like, oh, what? I was like, oh my God, another pro runner wants to run with me. And so those are my two pro runner friends. And other than that, like I see them on the trails and I'm like, hey, and they're like kind of starting to get to know me. But I just wonder, I just feel like they're this big group of friends and then there's me, but that's also definitely not true.
Yeah. I was like, why do you think that you can't be friends with other pro runners?
I just don't know how, like, I don't know how to like ask them to hang out.
Yeah. It's kind of awkward being like, hey, you guys want to like go for a run? I mean, I guess it's not that awkward, but if everyone already had their own little clique, it's kind of like, hey, can I join?
Yeah. I'm like, you know, so that's okay. I don't have time for friends anyways. So
yeah, I know. I feel like you're very busy. I mean, just looking at all that you do, it kind of just like overwhelms me just looking at all that you do. I'm like, I don't know how you do all of that in a day.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this morning because I was fucking in the worst mood today because I just was like, why do I have so much shit to do? Like, and I was like, at least I don't have kids. Like, I don't know how people with kids do it. Cause like me versus a mom is not even a fucking like fight or like a competition, but I don't know, man. I just like want to do less.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that it's a hard place to come to too, where you're just like, I feel like I need to do less, especially because you're doing so well running wise. It's probably like, okay, you probably should do less if you're feeling like that to like elevate your running. Mm-hmm. But then also it's like, you need to make a living. So it's probably a hard balance to find.
Exactly.
But I kind of like want to get into all that. I kind of want to start off though, but how did you get into running in general?
How did I get into running? Well, my dad ran for Nike back in the day. And so growing up, like we were basically like a runner family. Like I have two older brothers, they both ran, my mom ran. And so like, I always kind of knew, like, I always kind of was like, well, I'm going to be a runner, obviously. And luckily I ended up loving it. If I didn't, it would have been fine too. Like my brothers run for fun now, but they both do other things. So, yeah, that's basically how I got into it. Just born into it.
Yeah. Did your parents like pressure you into doing it? Or was it kind of like, if you want to do it, you can?
No pressure. I think my dad is like extremely happy that I'm doing it. But you know, if I would have like gone in the basketball route or whatever route, they would have been happy with that too. So, it was mainly like my own decision.
Yeah. And then you ended up going to NAU, and how was that experience overall?
Oh man. I was like, NAU is like, you've noticed like there hasn't been a good girls team in a while. They're getting better actually, yeah, which is like awesome. But I think it takes like a very special, like niche kind of person to like, especially girl to go to NAU. Have you ever been to Flagstaff?
I have. I was there for a month in November or like October of 2020.
Oh, wow. You went for a month?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
I like my friend, I had a couple friends who like run for Adidas and they like rented a house there. And it was when I was training for a triathlon. They're like, oh, do you want to come through? And I was bored and I was like, sure. Yeah. So then I was just there running and, you know, doing triathlon stuff for just fun, basically. I mean,
yeah. What'd you think of Flag?
It was actually really cool. Like that was my first time ever going there. It's definitely a small town. I mean, everyone, and now it's just completely different probably than when you went to school there. Like now it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's turned into a new Boulder. Like all the pro runners live there, which is kind of crazy. But I really liked it actually. And I feel like, I mean, it's a good running environment. It seems like the altitude killed me. I will say I'm not really good with altitude, but it was, I like Flagstaff.
Yeah, no, and I've been trying, like, I've wanted to move back there for a while because, like, I honestly think it is like one of the best places to train in the world.
Yeah.
And I think again, if I had like runner friends that was like, that were like, you want to go live in Flag for a summer or like come, would I be like, yeah, let's do that. But like, I only have like, you know, my, I just maybe.
Okay, I feel like you could do that easily though. Like there's so many pro runners in Flagstaff right now. Like you could easily just go. And I feel like a lot of them aren't even on teams. It's just a bunch of like random individuals that are there training. Like, I feel like you can easily make friends from my perspective, only being there for a month. Like, I don't know. It, I was also around all guys. So
who are your friends that you're training with?
Well, Eric Avila.
NIU with Eric.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I was living with him and then his teammate Christian Harrison and then my other friend Tate, who doesn't, he's just like a amateur, just runs for fun.
Perfect.
But then I don't know, like a ton of people have moved there. Like my friend Nikki Hill. There's a lot. Yeah. Like
I should go there. I should go back there.
Yeah, you should.
But okay. Imagine yourself in college. Imagine yourself as a 17-year-old girl who was like, I am going to college. What would you think of Flagstaff then?
Well, it depends on what you're going for. Like,
yeah. Were you like really serious
runner? Oh yeah. Like running was my life. Running was my life. Because I went to Vanderbilt first for a year and then I transferred to Oregon a semester. I was only at Vanderbilt for a semester. And then I transferred to Oregon. I transferred to Oregon because I knew I wanted to be good at running.
Okay.
So when I went to Oregon, I was not like, I'm going to get the college experience. I went to Oregon and like, I'm going to run at the University of Oregon. So it's just different. Like Eugene is not the most popping place ever. You know, I grew up in California. It's just in San Diego. It's beautiful here. Eugene is like beautiful in its own way, but it's college not like, town.
Yeah. Okay. Probably similar then. I don't think I appreciated Flagstaff as much when I was in college, because like I was really, as much as like I walked on, I wasn't like the best runner. I was motivated to run. I loved running. I wanted to do well, but I also like, I was also a very, I would say like, I was really social and I like wanted to, you know, have the college experience. I wanted to like party. I wanted to like travel. So I kind of, it was perfect for me. It was a perfect place for me because I was like, got to walk on. I was top seven. So I got to travel. I got to go to nationals, which I think made me obviously like a better runner. Like I had these opportunities, even though I wasn't like the fastest on the team until like my senior year. I kept getting better and I actually had a full scholarship when I left. But I'm very happy I went there.
Yeah. So it was a good experience. Well, okay. You said you were like, it takes a specific type of like girl to go there. Like, what does that mean? Like just intense or what?
Just like really, really, like I would say really gritty, like gritty. You don't get like, now they have different facilities, but back then, like you didn't have the like Oregon facilities, you know, you're kind of living in like a podunk. It was like pretty like podunky, pretty like remote town. So like you're just like gritting it out without like any of the like perks.
Yeah, but now I feel like they have nice facilities. I have never actually been in there, but I just see people training in there.
They do.
Mainly just now like the pool though. I just look at the pool. I'm like, that is a nice pool.
Yeah. I haven't seen the new pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting though. I mean, yeah, I feel like Flagstaff is popping off now though, so maybe it is a little different. It's just more hopping, or maybe it just be more fun like now as a pro. I don't know.
No, I would love it now, maybe.
Have you been there? Have you been back in a while?
I drove through there. I just drove through and I stopped at Macy's on the way back from Phoenix a couple months ago. I need to look for a house there.
Yeah. So what's keeping you in Boulder then?
I mean, like my dad, who's my coach, is here. My boyfriend, I don't think my boyfriend would move to Flagstaff. Like he is not a runner. I don't think he would go for that.
Yeah. That would be a lot to ask someone that doesn't run. Please, can you move to Flagstaff? Yeah. They're like, why would I ever?
He won't even like go visit. He's like, he's like, no, I've heard, like, as a couple of my friends visit me in college, obviously. And they're like, it's like Pueblo, Colorado, which is like a really shitty town in Colorado. And I'm like, no, it's not. And then when I drove through it a couple months ago, I was like, oh yeah, this is very Pueblo-y.
Yeah, just like from an outsider's perspective, you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well then after college, I need to know, like, know your story. So I saw that you were a professional triathlete for a bit. Was that right after college, or what did you do right after school?
Yeah, well, okay. I wanted to, yes, right after college, graduated, was like, I'm not going to run another step in my life. So over it, you know, just burnt out.
Yeah.
And then found triathlon and was like, oh, that's like perfect for me, you know, loved it for a couple of years. I did live in Spain a couple of years after college. So like I was training in Spain a little bit. I did some races over there. But like, it wasn't like focused. I could have done better.
What were you like training for? Were you doing like Ironman, or was it like, oh, okay. So was the CRP a thing back then?
No.
The college recruitment program? No.
Yes, it was. And I was part of, I went to that camp.
Okay.
At the Olympic Training Center.
Yeah.
So I was kind of part of that. And it was when Olympic distance still had money in it. So you could go like to Hy-Vee and win money. And, but now it's all either it's either like ITU or it's like Ironman basically. Right.
Yeah.
So I did that and I loved it for a while. And then I was like still living with my mom in her basement, and I was like 25 or six. And like, yeah, I was like, okay, nothing is worth this. You know, like, I love my mom and we get along well, but like, no, like,
yeah, I feel like you hit a certain point where you're like, okay, it's time to make like moves, like career wise.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like the last time, like I needed to buy protein powder. Cause you need protein powder.
Yeah. Well, okay. Also, triathlon is so expensive.
It's
like ridiculous.
I mean, have you ever hired a triathlon coach?
Yeah.
$400.
$400 a month.
You're like, I am not from a rich family. Like, they weren't paying for that. I'm like, oh my, like, so I needed protein powder. I couldn't buy any. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. Next.
This is the final straw. You're like, that was it. All right, my career's over. I can't buy the tub of protein.
Exactly. So then I just like started my coaching career, and that took off not very fast, slowly building. I was always running. So I've always run for fun, like done workouts for fun, jumped in local races. And then like, it wasn't until I was going to do an Ironman, I was like, okay, I got to get back into triathlon. That I tried grandma. I did CIM to prepare for like a full Ironman. So I was like, let me just do a marathon first. Finished well, 2:31. So that was the Olympic A standard at the time.
So fast to debut in a marathon. I can't.
I was like, finished it. I didn't know anything about it. Like I honestly didn't know it was a fast time. And people were like, wow, good job. And I was like, oh, was that good? Because like, that wasn't like, I could go faster for sure. I was like, so I just, ever since then, I was like full on board marathon
training. Yeah. You're like, no more triathlon. That's out the window. Don't add the biking and swimming into that.
I was like, thank you. I'm not religious. Thank you, God, for not, I don't have to buy a bike.
Honestly, like, bikes are just so expensive. I could see why you would be like, okay, running 2:31, I'm out. I'm going to go back to running. Yeah. Where you need a pair of shoes and a watch.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so I also saw that you did like obstacle course racing though too.
Yeah, that was, I mean, so I'm going to be honest with that.
Okay.
Which I don't know if I've ever been that on. No, I have, but people don't, they don't want to hear it.
Okay, I was spilling the tea. This is going to be the headline.
This is it. They want to think that I had this huge career in obstacle course racing. But I did like maybe 5 races because like my best friend is like an obstacle course racer. She's like won. She just like kept on bringing home big checks. And I was like, oh my God, like she didn't have to work. She wasn't working. She was like, she's just like an Instagram person, you know, like you,
like
but,
me,
yeah, like you, but less followers. So she was like living the life. And I've actually never, yeah, I'd like to talk to you more about Instagram, but maybe I should just listen to your pod. Do you have a podcast where you
I don't really have a podcast on like influencing, if that's what you're talking about.
You do?
No, I don't. But you can always ask me.
Do you have a YouTube on?
No. But like you can like text me or we can talk about it.
Okay. Okay. I want to know, like, I mean, I'm sure you've been asked this question so many times, like how you like, how much is too much like of like paying attention to your phone? Like, are there days where you're like, I'm going to fucking destroy my phone?
Oh, I'm on my phone 24/7. And I have like, no, I literally have no balance in my life. Like my life is, I'm chronically online. You could say like, I'm just chronically on my phone. It's not good. I know it's not good for me, but I also love doing it. Like, I just love my job and I love documenting my life. So I don't really mind. Yeah. And I try my best not to like doom scroll or wherever you're, where you're just like scrolling for hours and hours. But like in terms of just being on my phone and like being online, I'm always on the internet.
You're always on it. Yeah. No. And like, what about like, I mean, I appreciate what you do. And I like, actually like, I like following you because you're funny. So like, I think it's great. But like, what about like morally being on your phone versus being like where you are?
Oh, well, I don't think it's really good to like, just always not be in the moment. Like, I mean, I feel like I just give that up for this job though. Like that's just kind of the sacrifice that you have to make is like just not being in the moment a lot of the time, which I don't know. I never feel like I'm putting on a persona though. So it's not like I'm like faking my life, which is really nice. Like I'm just able to be myself. I just happen to have a camera in front of me, but there's so many days that go by where I'm just like, I wish I did not have to get up and like film this run that I'm about to go on. Like, but I try my best. And I try my best not to film on those days. Like I try to really only film or like, I don't know, shoot content on the days where I am feeling motivated to do it. But again, I don't really mind. Like, I don't think it's necessarily like, good for me to like always be on the internet. And it's like so habitual now that it's kind of crazy. Like I kind of have to force myself not to like take a picture of myself on a run or like take a video of myself. And that's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool.
Yeah. It's just interesting. But I don't know.
Cause I wanted to do like a YouTube series on training and like my camera guy would show up for my like 7 a.m. workouts and I fucking just hated him. I was like, if he fucking puts that camera in my face, cause I was like so tired and I could tell, and I had nothing to say cause I was just so tired. And I was like, this, people are going to think I'm just like a terrible, ugly, tired robot. Like,
well, see, that's like the downside of it is like at that point you kind of have to put on like a face at least a little bit to not be like, oh. Like no one wants to see like a really like annoyed person in the morning. Yeah. So you kind of had to be like, you know, like just, I don't know, be energetic or whatever. I don't know. It just like, I feel like you just get used to it though too. And it's like, I've done it for so many years that I'm just used to like not always looking my best on the internet or just like, I don't know. I put out so much content. It just all meshes together now. And I just don't really care. I also don't have a cameraman though. That's like shoving a camera in my face. Yeah. It's just myself. So I choose when to put myself on the internet.
I'm sure it was like a natural thing, right? Like this just kind of like happened. Like you were like, you just had this personality on Instagram, which is your personality, but like, and then you gained followers. Was there like one like event where you got like tons of followers and you were like,
no,
or
it
like,
was, it, that, so I started a YouTube channel in 2017 and that's where it all started from. So I just started filming like days in the life. Okay. And that's like where all my Instagram followers basically come from is YouTube and stuff. Like I'm not really, I mean, I'd use Instagram so much, but I would say like, I'm an OG YouTuber more than anything else. It was all natural. Like I never planned on this being my job. I never planned on being an influencer. I feel like it just kind of, the opportunity fell into my lap and I've just taken advantage of it, which has been cool.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to see now, like everyone's hopping on the bandwagon of like, I don't know. There's just so much pressure of, I feel like now a professional runner is to have a social presence, which I kind of feel bad about. I mean, it's a lot of work, and to put that on someone who's marathon training like you or has like a business that they're trying to grow, like that's, it's just a lot more work than I think people realize.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is payout. It's just like, it just takes a lot of consistency and like having to deal with things like that, where you have a cameraman following you and you're like in a bad mood and you don't want to be filmed, but you just have to deal with it, I guess.
I think also like you do a really good job of like just like not caring, you know, like I think that's key.
Oh, it's 100% key, but it's taken so many years to get to that point.
Yeah.
Okay. Like it's, I've definitely reached a point now where I really don't care. And it's taken so many years. Like even last year I cared, like I just cared too much. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, I don't even care anymore. Like I just put out what I put out. If it gets views, it does. If it doesn't get views, it doesn't. If people write mean comments, whatever, like, I don't know. But again, it just takes years and just consistency of doing it. And it's like exposure therapy almost, where you just have to like, just continue doing it. And then you just kind of grow
just like immune to the
whatever people have to say. But
yeah, that's what Molly said. I was asking Molly about you maybe like a couple months ago or something, because I was like, oh my god, she just like doesn't give a fuck. I'm like, she's awesome. And she was like, yeah, I think she just doesn't care. And I was like,
I just don't care.
She just doesn't care.
Well, also like the running world is so small. It's like, okay, people always will have an opinion, you know, someone always has an opinion in running world. Yeah. So it's like, okay, there's no one, you can't please everyone. And I've come to realize that, like, I'm never going to please everyone. People will think I'm weird. People will think I'm annoying, and some people will love me, and you just kind of take whatever comes with it. So
absolutely.
Yeah. We're good. Brief little intermission here to talk about one of my favorite sponsors of the podcast, especially for the summertime, which is Gooder. Gooder makes $25 active sunglasses for anyone. They are lightweight, comfortable, they don't move when you run, and they're all for only $25. $25, that is a steal. They're no slip, no bounce, all polarized, and all fun. Some may say they are the best sunglasses ever invented, and I agree with them because they are seriously incredible. They have names like Influencers Pay Double, which strikes a chord with me, you know. They say Influencers Pay Double, but we're all only paying $25 for Gooder sunglasses. I know you'll find a pair that speaks to you. I absolutely love that these glasses are polarized. The sun shines very brightly here in San Diego, and I definitely need polarized sunglasses when I'm running, and the fact that they don't bounce on my head when I run is absolutely phenomenal. They're also really comfortable. They're definitely the most comfortable running sunglasses. There's also 30-day free returns, so you cannot go wrong, and you guys should try them out. Get your friends a pair, your favorite fellas, and treat yourself to a pair or two because you deserve it, and it's summertime. Why not? Go to gooder.com, that's GOODR.com, and get 15% off your entire order when you use code COLDBREW at checkout. All orders over $50 get free shipping in the U.S. That's 15% off with code COLDBREW at www.goodr.com. Look good, run gooder. Now let's get back into today's episode with Nell. So do you run a business? Like, are you a business owner, or do you just coach? Like, is your dad the business owner and then you coach with your dad?
No, I run a business. Yeah, I have like a coaching business. I'm really trying to get to hire Molly. I really want her to coach with me.
So, oh my gosh, she would be such a good coach too.
I know. She's like, I'm like, Molly, you're literally like the only person I would ask. So if you have any influence, would love.
I'll shoot her a text after this. Like, you should definitely get into that side hustle.
Yeah. Coaching is awesome. I have, and that kind of like has been just like growing and growing over. I started coaching right after high school. And I've coached ever since. And yeah, it's like, you know, it wasn't like I was like, okay, I'm going to set up my business the way I want to set it up, and then I'm going to like grow it. It was like, just kept growing, growing, growing. And now I'm like, oh my God, like I don't have anything in place. And so I just hired an assistant to like help me with like the billing and to get my shit together, because like nothing is organized. And so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine. Like, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm responsible for myself. Really? Mm-hmm. That's it. I can't imagine like delegating responsibility to people or just dealing with, that sounds like a negative connotation to dealing with, but like working with so many people, like athletes and employees and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yeah. Like, how do you handle that? Like, how do you handle that workload and running at the same time?
I think I need to do a better job, because it's definitely hard. And like I said this, I think on a podcast the other day, it's just like, I mean, I know how like I feel on a daily basis with my running and with like everything else going on, it's like I'm dealing with myself and then I'm dealing with everyone else's self, right? So like how, whatever they're feeling, I have to like kind of figure that out and like decode whatever they're telling me and then like figure out like, okay, who is this person? You know, like, how do I encourage this person? What do they need? And how do I relate to that to running? And so, I do the best I can, but I think I don't have any boundaries, which I like am like starting to make. So I basically just like panic every day is how I deal with it.
Same. I feel the same. I feel like it's just the life of like a business owner, or like doing your own. It's just like pure panic at all times.
Panic.
Like, and no boundaries.
No boundaries. And like yesterday it was Mother's Day and I went to my mom's house and she made me dinner while I worked and she walked my dog while I worked. And I was just like, I'm sorry, mom. Like, this is just, I'll be around you and you can do things for me for Mother's Day, because like, that's like where I was at. I was like finishing training plans. And so, yeah, I think it's a learning experience though.
So how are you going to set boundaries? Have you thought about it at all?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I definitely have. I mean, just like, and I think it's like, just like, look, like, here's the times where I can like text you back. Here's my, like, we're using WhatsApp for like communication instead of like my personal text. Like, here is, I think just even being organized is like going to be huge. Like, so that when someone asks me something, I'm like, oh, here's the sheet of exercises you need to do. They're all in one place. Things like that. So they don't have as many questions because I'm, you know, cause they know we have like a portal now, you know?
Yeah. Just a lot of like systems that need to be in place.
Yes, exactly.
So when you started the business, were you like, I want this to be my career, or was it like kind of like a side hustle? What were you thinking that it was going to grow into?
Oh, I definitely wanted it to be my career. And I've had like, you know, I've thought about like, oh, maybe I can go like coach for college, after my running career is over, or maybe like, it would be awesome to like be a coach of like an elite team, like, you know, like Adidas or On or something. So like, I think eventually that would be like my goal. But now it's like, I also like want to do more like public speaking, like engagements. And, you know, I think I honestly, like, I don't know if this is going to sound, I'm not an arrogant person, but I think my time can be spent. Like, I like helping people work towards their running goals. I really do. But I think if I can like set up like a broader system where my time can be spent like doing bigger things with bigger numbers of people, that's kind of, you know, like setting up something for like girls, like high school running girls who have confidence issues or like have race anxiety, like setting up a program for them where like they can be part of that, or like things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I at a certain point, you only have so much time in the day. You can only spend so much time on like specific individuals. So it does get to a point where you're like, I want to help a broader amount of people, but that doesn't take away from like you wanting to help the smaller amount of people that you've worked with, you know?
Right.
And everything. But I mean, yeah. I completely get what you're saying. It just maxes out your time. And then you kind of have to find like how you're going to keep growing from that.
Yeah. So I think it's like a never ending change, you know, like it'll always morph into like what it's supposed to be, and it will be different things.
Yeah. What's like the biggest thing that you look for in someone that you would like hire as a coach?
That I would hire as my own coach?
Or just like a coach, like for your program?
Oh, well, I think Molly's perfect because you mean like to coach under me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Molly like kind of knows like my training philosophy. So I think that's important because like, it is like, it would be like under my umbrella. Right. So I'd be like, okay, someone who I like know they believe in the training. I know they kind of get the idea of it. I know they have a lot of experience running. She's an amazing runner, 229. I mean, that's super, super duper respectable. She's super personable. She's passionate about running and she has like some extra time during the day.
That makes a lot of sense.
She checks the boxes.
Yeah. You just really want Molly to coach under you.
She's the only one that can fill the spot.
So you're coached by your dad. Is Molly coached by your dad as well too?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I mean, that's a cool little group that you guys have there. I'm kind of jealous. It's a nice little squad. You got going.
It's a good squad. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like an eclectic group of people and they're all awesome. We have some other girls on the team that, you know, are kind of like working up, which I love having. So yeah.
Yeah. Can you take us through a day in your life? I'm very curious. As someone who trains for marathon and does everything else.
I mean, like, for example, today, set my alarm for 6, got up at 7:45. literally. I have like a couple private clients and I have like 2 private clients a week. And it's only because they pay me a lot of money to like be with them for an hour. So I'm like, okay.
I'll do it.
So coached them and then did my own workout, went to strength training. What did I do after that? I'm going to Mexico. So I got waxed. Then I had two client calls and now I'm here with you.
And then do you have anything else for the rest of the day or is this the nightcap?
I have 2 more meetings. And then I'll go on another run.
How do you have energy to do that all?
I don't.
Well, where do you find it? You must find it from somewhere. Do you like take naps?
No naps.
You're just a highly energetic person.
No, I'm not even, I'm not even energetic. Like I think maybe I would be if I could be, but I think like I've been on like a 5-year streak of like, no, maybe like a 10-year streak of like, just like busting my ass and I'm just like used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not really sure where.
It's just routine by now. You're just like, this is how life is and we're doing it.
I probably like implode every like 6 months or something. And like,
I feel like everyone has that. Everyone does that though.
Yeah.
That's normal. Imploding a little bit.
Yeah. I cried in my car today. I mean, I cried. Oh, Sheryl Crow. They were doing this interview with Sheryl Crow on NPR. And she was talking about, I don't even remember what she was talking about, but it was great.
You just need a little emotional release.
Exactly.
That's good. I mean, yeah. I'm impressed. I don't know how you do it, but it's working obviously. And like, I mean, you're running really well, so it must not be like a recovery issue at all. Do you get 8 hours of sleep?
Sometimes. I would say an average 6.
Do you get injured at all? Or are you pretty like a healthy?
Pretty healthy. Yeah. Knock on wood. I'm pretty robust. Yeah.
So basically you're just built different is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You can handle it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you had obviously an amazing Boston Marathon after already having an amazing Boston Marathon, like 6 months ago. I'm sure you've talked so much about the Boston Marathon. I'm more curious about the contract situation. So if are you able to talk about it freely?
I can like, you know, I'll say what I will say. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you signed with Adidas like earlier this year and then you made the decision to unsign with them. I don't, or yeah, just drop.
You can do that.
I'm just confused. Like, can you do that? Like how did that process go?
I guess you can do that. I don't know. I didn't know. I was like, I don't, because you probably shouldn't be able to do that once you sign, right?
I'm not signing pro contract deals for running, so.
Well, yeah. So basically, like, unfortunately, you know, I was in Adidas for 6 months and like loved being a sponsored athlete. I could take like a little off my plate. Like I stopped working in person with people, which was great. And honestly, like most people I talk to can relate to this because, they've had this, the shoe just like didn't work for my foot. And I kept on trying and trying, cause obviously I wanted to be with Adidas. Like I didn't want to turn down money. I wanted to be a sponsored athlete. But like, ultimately, like, I was like, this is not going to be a good relationship in the long run, because like, I know I can't run my fastest in these shoes just because they don't work for me. They don't work for my stride. And as everyone knows, like, shoes are so individual. So I talked to them before Boston and was like, I fulfilled like my duties the last 6 months. And like, I wanted a lasting relationship with a company. And like, I just don't think any of us are going to get anything out of this, because if I don't perform my best, you're not going to want me in these. Like, it's going to be a null point. And so I had to drop them.
That's so crazy. How like hard was that decision though? Because you're, like you said, you're turning away a check and like stability, mm-hmm. I guess. And, but I mean, it's nice because you already had your business, so mm-hmm. that's nice to fall back on, but it must be hard to turn away a check and support from a big brand.
Yeah, no, it was really hard. I mean, it took me, like, my boyfriend, like 2 weeks before Boston was like, "Now you have to make a decision because it's going to drive you crazy." Like, there's so many days when I went out there to do my workout and I would just like, put this shoe on, put this shoe on, put this shoe on, put this shoe on, and be like, I think they're good. I think we're all the same. You know, I would convince myself. So it was hard. It was a really hard decision, but like, I think I just knew that like, if I were to line up on the line and not be confident, like, that's not the point of my running career.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, confidence plays a huge role in something like running a major marathon or any big race. I mean, if you get to the starting line and you're like, I don't feel confident in the shoes I'm wearing, and you're running 26 miles in them, that probably plays a huge role in how the performance is going to go.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat, before even running, like, and you just are already in a lower, you know, brain state.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like for you now? Like, are you looking for other contracts? Or are you just happy being unsigned?
That's a good question. Unsigned with Adidas, I was like, basically in my mind, I was like prepared to just like not be a sponsored athlete. Like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, no one's going to sign me after I drop a contract, you know? And that's okay. So I kind of like put it out of my mind, whatever. I was focusing on the race. I was focusing on Boston. And then after the race, people asked me questions and I was like, oh, I mean, of course, yeah, I would love to be signed. But now I understand that, like, if I'm going to sign with a company, like, I need like a very long trial period. I need to know, like, it needs to pass the acid test, which is a race. So I should, and like, I've been so busy, I haven't been able to do this, and I just started doing workouts anyways, but I should go get like different pairs of shoes and see like what works for me and then try to approach those companies. But I haven't approaching company. I haven't really even talked to my agent about Nike, or anything.
Yeah. So you haven't been in contact with anyone? Like, has anyone hit you up after Boston?
No.
What is up with the running world? I literally don't understand professional running a lot of the time.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. Or I don't know. Maybe like my agent has talked to people, but hasn't talked to me. I don't know. I should talk to him.
I should schedule a meeting with that man.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, what are your goals for the marathon ultimately? Because you're still pretty fresh in it.
Yeah, I'd hope I have 8 years left. I would like to make an Olympic team, of course, is like the main goal. And that's kind of like how we prepare the races. And like, that's like what we have in mind with everything I'm doing leading up to 2024. Skip 4 years. I don't know.
Does that overwhelm you at all, looking so far in advance, or just like knowing that you have 8 more years, or are you just like, are you like stoked about it? Like, you're like,
well,
yes,
no, I have,
8 more years.
Oh, yeah. I'm stoked about it.
That's good.
Yeah. 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 I'm very happy about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like you just kicked off your marathon career with such a bang, and it's going so well. It's probably just really exciting to think that you have 8 more years and you're like, you can accomplish so much in 8 years.
Yeah.
And just like compounding, just training after year after year after year for the marathon. Are you like a high mileage person?
No, not in the past. This past Boston, I did run like consistently, maybe like 115 to 125 a week, which is high.
That's so absurd. That's 2 times like my max I've ever run in my life in a week.
Yeah. but like, and I actually don't know if it worked for, like, yes, I had a good race, but like, I was really lucky to have that good race. And I think I more just willed myself to doing, yeah, to like finishing that well, but I don't think that's how I'm like looking back at my training cycles and I'm like, I think for me, it would benefit me more to do a little bit lower mileage, like even now, like 100, and then like focusing more on like strength, because that's what I've done in the past. And so I think I might like my next marathon, maybe try to like down my mileage and higher my quality.
That's, I mean, a good way to move forward. And I've gotten the number one listener question I got from people on my story was asking about your strength training routine.
Yeah.
Which, how can you even give that probably for like, how can you even give that in one answer?
You're like, come on guys, I can't, that's not even a question. I can't ask like, what's your strength training routine?
Well, I guess how often do you strength train?
So this Boston, once again, like outlier, really went off the deep end. But before that, it was I did about 4 days in the gym a week. But it was really like, my first day was like lower leg focused. My second day was like hip strength focus. I had like a rotation focused day. And then I had for Boston, it was like a quad focused day.
When do you think people should start strength training in general for like runners?
When?
Yeah. Like what age?
Oh, I mean, if you do it correctly, like strength training can mean so many different things. And, you know, if you do it correctly, like, and you're like focused first on like movements and learning how to control, and middle school is like totally acceptable. Of course, you don't want to like be like, let's like throw pounds on you, whatever. But I started strength training and probably not like consistently in middle school, but like my dad would be like, okay, let's like go in the garage and we'd like lift weights. But I'd say like high school, it becomes like very important, for like injury and, yeah.
That is one of the things I wish I did in high school. I didn't strength train at all. I feel like now it's becoming more common knowledge, but I mean, I'm not even that old, but back in my day, like people didn't really strength train that much.
Yep. No, it's new. It's like this new like thing for runners.
Yeah. I feel like that's what's making a lot of like younger runners really good too, is adding in the strength component and just seeing how other like pro runners train. But I would have avoided so many injuries, I think, in high school.
Oh.
I grew so much that I was just constantly injured. And I mean, some of them probably I couldn't have avoided because I was growing so much, but then I think I just would have been much stronger.
Yeah.
In general, just like not very weak, I guess, or like just had better, you know, hip strength and everything, which probably could have avoided a lot of injuries by strength training, but I also had no idea what I was doing. So
yeah,
it's not like I can go back in time, but that is the one thing I think I wish I did. Not even like having to be faster or anything. I don't even care if it made me faster, just as long as I didn't have to be injured.
constantly. Yeah, being injured sucks.
Yeah.
Do you still want to, like, would you be a competitive runner, or do you want to be a competitive runner?
I don't know. Like, I'm never going to say never. Like, I never would again. But at this moment in time, I'm very content just being washed up and like just like running for fun. I feel like I just spent my whole life being a competitive runner. Like, I just, it's just so nice, you know, giving myself a break to not put pressure on myself to train. Like, just, it's so freeing. This is like going against what probably what everyone that listens to this podcast does, but it's like so freeing not having to worry about a long run on the weekend when I like don't want to do it, like not force myself to go for a long run when I have for every other year of my life.
Absolutely.
That it just like feels good. But again, it's like when I was triathlon training, I think I would be really good at triathlon, and I was doing it for like almost a full year. But then I realized, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to commit to this. Like, do I really want to do these like hours and hours of training? Like, am I really ready for that again?
Yeah.
And triathlon's like another level of that. Like, just so many more hours.
Yeah.
And so like, I think eventually I will get back into endurance exercise, like competitively at some level. I just feel like I can't right now. Like, mentally, I just am still pretty burnt out from college running, or just like my early years of running. But I don't know. I still love it. I still love doing it for fun. And I just feel like I've, I don't know, matured a lot, or I'm just like a lot better mentally for the break that I've taken. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a good place, but sometimes, I mean, I do feel unfulfilled sometimes of like, I could be so good. Like, I watch people like Molly, who was on my team, or just, I don't know, people that were on my team just doing so well. And I'm like, that could be me, and I could get back into it and everything. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, honestly, like if it like, I took a break, you know, like I was like you, like I would always run, but I wasn't like taking it so seriously. Like, if I wanted to like stay out late one night, I would, and then I'd miss a run, you know? So, and then I came back when I was 29 or 30, like right around there. So you have like, you've got time, you know what I mean? Like, and you can still have a great career.
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, that's what I keep telling myself. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting like really washed up, and I keep getting older and older, and everyone like on my team is just doing so well, and I just keep getting washed up. But I mean, I know that's not true. Like, no. It was a stupid tweet that I saw the other day, but it was like, talent never goes away.
Yeah.
It's true. I don't think it does ever go away. It's just, you kind of have to be in the right mindset to do it. So I agree. And that's why I'm never saying never. Like, at this point in time, being 25, I'm not like, I need to go step on the line, but
right.
I'm still really competitive with myself, and I know myself, and I will get into something again. And it is, I mean, I find it really inspiring, people like you who get, you know, back into it at 29, or people that have taken long breaks. Like, it keeps me like motivated for things down the road. Like, you never know what will be in store.
Yeah. I love that.
And running the marathon like stresses me out. So
yeah. Well, you don't have to be a marathoner.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. okay. Well, I want to answer some last couple listener questions, and then we can part ways. But what is your why? Like, why do you run?
Yeah, I've gotten that question a lot lately. So I think, you know, it's kind of cool. It's like, definitely, I always have this core why of like, you know, just like this inner drive and this inherent kind of motivation to just like be the best. You know, I like, I've always wanted to go to the Olympics. I've always known has been inside of me. Like, I'm like, I know if that girl can do it, I can do it. And so there's that inner drive. That's just like something I think us people were born with. But then like, it's actually even cooler now, because as I like, people know my name more, and like, I get a bigger platform. I'm able to like use it for some things that were also super, super, super important to me, that like for me, like, representing the Latino population is like, it like makes running that much more meaningful and that much more like not just for me. So there's that. And then there's, you know, being a real, like, inspiring women and being like, who the fuck cares? Like, what you look like, or what other people tell you you can or cannot do, or, you know, if you don't fit that exact mold of, whatever you're trying to do, you know? So that's also like a place that I found myself in, which is another amazing thing that I'm like, I feel so honored to be able to be in this position that help people like be inspired. So yeah,
that's a good answer. That's like a good mix of, I mean, obviously you have a lot of internal drive, but then a little bit of external drive as well to just like help other people. And it's cool to, I guess, be able to use running as that sort of outlet. It's kind of crazy to just think about it, like you running just kind of inspires other people to do things or.
Yeah.
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 It's just kind of crazy.
It is. It's like, it's just very, I'm really lucky because like, I know so many people who like work so hard at running, but like, they just like, I'm just like talented, you know, like I had a good mom and a good dad who gave me these genes. And so like, I am a runner, but yeah, to be in that position is really cool. And it's just like, yeah, I get to like do what I'm super passionate about and like somehow help other people while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Like, do you have any runners that you like look up to at all? It's kind of a weird ass question to ask when you're like at the top of the running world.
No, not at all. I go through like fangirl phases, but I don't know. I need a better answer for that question. Cause of course, like I have like runners that I look up to. Growing up, I didn't have like one running role model. I'd say like my dad was like that for me. And then now like I really highly respect a lot of my competitors and like they inspire me. But I don't have like one. No.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to have one. I feel like I kind of have that issue too, where people ask me like, who's your role model? Or like, I was the same way. I didn't really have a specific person that I looked up to.
Yeah.
I think now is kind of, I don't know if maybe now is different because there's social media, but like I was very tuned out.
Well, I also think like as runners, we're probably just like, we're just like so focused on ourselves. You know, especially in high
school. Narcissistic tendencies.
Yeah. We're just like, I don't care what they're doing. I just want to be the best. Like, I don't know.
That's actually kind of true.
Right?
I mean, I think everyone like inspires everyone a little bit in the running world. I feel like I just take away things from every single like person that I meet. Everyone just has a cool story. That's why I love this podcast. Honestly, like I love just getting to know people and just know people's stories. Cause it's just really cool to see the different backgrounds that people come from or like what they stand for and everything. So
absolutely. That is cool.
Yeah. People asked your core routine. Do you core? Do core? Yeah. Do you do core specifically? People were like abs on fleek.
Abs, yeah. A lot of my like core stuff would be like rotation stuff. So my favorite, exercise is like on a GHD. So that thing, you know, where you put your feet in and you're like,
Yes. Where your back's like hanging
off.
Yeah.
Your back's like off the thing.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
You're bent backwards and you're upside down.
The listeners are like, what are you guys talking about?
Well, the GHD, look it up.
Yeah.
I really like that. And then you just kind of rotate, you like fully extend, rotate the other direction and come up. It's like a GHD sit up with rotation.
Okay.
That'll like destroy you. And then body saws. I do a lot of body saws. And other than that, like I don't like do like specific core. No.
You just run 125 miles a week. Yeah. That might help a little bit.
Yep.
I'm gonna start doing the GHD sit-ups. Maybe I'll get a six pack for the first time in my life.
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
And then I'll start running 125 miles a week.
Yeah.
Little baby steps. So I'll start with maybe regular sit-ups first.
Yeah.
Would you ever get into trail running?
Yeah. I mean, I trail run all the time. Like I love trail running. I'm not interested in racing in trails. Maybe like when I retire, I would just for fun, but that doesn't, spark my, that doesn't fuel my fire.
Why not?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe it's just cause it's like so subjective. Like I'm not like, oh, I want to run this pace and I want to. So that's a good question.
I mean, marathon is just a lot faster. Like you're just training a lot faster. So maybe
I like running fast. Like,
yeah,
I don't like running slow. I love running on trails. I do it all the time, but I don't know.
Racing. Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I'm like, maybe I would like to.
You never know what the future has in store.
Yeah.
Okay. The last question I have is, do you have any advice to your younger self?
I mean, advice that like no one could ever take as a younger self, but
yeah, that's what everyone says,
right? Like you have to learn these things and I have to keep on learning these lessons, but yeah, just like accepting yourself for who you are and knowing like that you're like, honestly, like exactly where you're supposed to be. Even if like you're not perfect and you did something wrong, or you're going through this, you know, like if you're depressed or if you're, you know, like all these things I'm thinking about, I'm like, whatever, like that's okay. And like, just learn from this, get through it, honestly, accept it and like lean into it, is what I would say to myself, and just like, just keep being you.
I like that a lot. I like this episode. It was really fun getting to know you. I like,
yeah, you too.
I like your story a lot. So I appreciate you coming on.
Glad we got to talk. That was, now I have more context when I, when I see your Instagram.
Yeah, there you go. Like,
oh, my friend.
Yeah. Well, it's like funny. It's like you start asking me questions during the podcast.
I have so many questions. You. Yeah. I have so many questions for you.
Well, where can people follow you at if they don't already?
I basically am just on Instagram, Nell Rojas Running.
Sweet. All right. Mm-hmm. It's all linked in the show notes as per usual. All right, Nell. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
All right. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Commas Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. It was super fun talking to Nell. She's quite the character. This was my first time actually ever talking to her, but it was really fun getting to know her. I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you guys did as well. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It's a free way to support the podcast, and it really means the world to me when I get to read your guys' reviews. It literally makes my week. So follow us on Instagram at Commas Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to be up to date and submit listener questions. Thanks so much for listening, and I will catch you all in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.